A couple of preliminary announcements. First of all, on Friday night, we had the pleasure of seeing the stars dancing again, but we started off noticing the stars by, at a barbecue, seeing one of the satellites go across the sky, and it looked like the satellite was drunk, or the driver of it was drunk or something, and it would go forward and come back a little bit and go sideways, and then we discovered that if you focus on the stars, you could see them move around as well. So we thought they were drunk first rather than dancing, but I agree with dancing is a better idea. We sort of want to announce in advance that we were going to do the show that we did for Mature Adults Only a week from Wednesday. And some of you who are interested in talking to me about trying out again, we'll have tryouts probably on Wednesday or Thursday. If you're interested in talking to me about either writing or something like that, fine. This week, for our devotions, we want to focus upon the idea of, well, struggling with God. The first week was being a prophet, what it's like to be a prophet. The second week we stopped and we talked about what it means to be a poet, a little, and to listen. And this week I thought we would stop on what it means to be a mediator. It's one of those big words that kind of gets lost in our language, but it's a very good word and it's a very important word, and it's the word that every Christian has to be. A mediator. And so what I thought I would do for this week is to take six of the great struggles of the Old Testament, prayers if you like to call them that. Prayer is such a lost word in our day because it's so churchy. Struggles of men of God from the Old Testament. And I'm speaking more slowly now because Eleanor said that she wasn't in gear yet, so that I shouldn't, you know, go too fast at this point in the morning. And I hope most of you are in gear enough at this time of the morning to struggle a little bit, you know, even though it's morning time and you can hardly struggle with your buckwheat cakes, if you can struggle just a little bit with one or two ideas every morning and go away with something that sticks with you as you struggle with God and be a mediator for the day. A mediator, and that's really what happens in this village, is that things are mediated through people and through words and through songs and through everything that happens here. The place of mediation as we learn to think and thank what we are. This morning, the story is the story about the struggle of Jacob with God. Tomorrow, if you want to look ahead, it will be Exodus chapter 32, the struggle of Moses with God, Exodus 32. Where I think we need to start is something that I do almost every week. Sometimes during the week, I stop and say a very simple sentence like, who am I? It's a very old statement, and you say it all the time, I suppose. You hear people say, I don't know who I am. But if I am a man in God who takes seriously the fact that Jesus Christ is supposed to have made me something that is different to somebody else, in a certain sense, then I have to keep asking that question, what am I? What's the kind of identity that makes me something as I stand, not just before other people, and look you in the face, and take you by the hand, but when I dare to stand before God, I can go to a psychoanalyst and he can go to the deepest part of my background, my inner self. And I can go to a philosopher. I can go to many different people in this society, in many different books. But what I really see as myself is that which happens when I've taken the struggle to find out what I am with God, with the Christ who shows me God. To stand in front of him and somehow know what it's like to take on God. And unless we've gotten to the point where we're going to take on God, get him by the arm until he cries uncle and renders to us what we are and lets us free, free to be, free to have his name, free to forgive, free to love, to take on God so that we discover what we are, set apart to be something And if we go now to a text like this one, we're aware in the back of our mind that there are a lot of other things in the stories in the world. All over the world there are struggles between God and men. It's not just in the religion of the Old Testament, but it's everywhere. But here in this text, something of the real meaning of the struggle between a man and God comes through, so that you see what you are. Now, the man in question is a man called Jacob. And you ought to understand Jacob, first of all, before you even listen to the story of the text. Jacob, well, he was just one of those people that, I don't know, the best English word that I know to describe Jacob is a fink. His name means just that. He's the guy that, when he was born, he grabbed hold of the heel of his brother and said, "Oops, I'm first. Let a winner take the way." He goes first. And then he tricks his father with the help of his rather, unsubtle mother. And then he gets the birthright from his brother Esau. Everything that Jacob does is trickery, deception. And then he does all his dirty tricks to win his brother, to defeat his cousin Laban over there in the other land. And finally, after all of this, and he made a bargain with God. "Listen, God, if you're good to me, I'll be good to you when I get back home." Everything about Jacob until he comes back is one of trickery. And his name, Jacob, means just that, the deceiver, the stinker, the fink. And while a lot of people don't like that word, it's the word in the English language that captures what Jacob was. And now he comes back, and now he's got to face his brother again. And in the face of this, he's a little bit scared, so he's going to do all sorts of schemes to win his brother over. He's going to send some of his women this way. He's going to bow down. He's going to send him all kinds of presents. He's got it all worked out. This guy knows the ropes of how to win people over. But suddenly, right at that moment, something happens that changes everything. Jacob comes face to face with a man in the middle of the night. A man in the middle of the night. And I'd like to read a little paraphrase of the story. It goes like this. "The knight is perched on a rock, and a young man steps before me, his body braced and raw. He stands erect and ready, a charging bull flexing for the fray. Our sweaty limbs lock through the crisp darkness, and I feel my thigh buckle with the pressure of a fist inflicted in some strange hold. Yet with the dawn burst, my aching arms refuse to loosen and free from my tormentor, and my broken breath cries out, 'No, no, I won't let you go. I won't let you go, sir. No, not until you bless me.'" Do you hear? "Until you bless me. What's my name? Well, my name is Jacob. Deceiver, traitor, fool, fink. Take your pick, it's all the same. Your name," he says, "is not that. Your name must change to fit your power, your character, your change. Your name is you. Your name is Israel. Israel, the man who took on God and took him." "Well, what's your name?" I said. "So why do you ask?" he cracked. And he left me there, exhausted, blessed, a new man, fired with a new feeling, a new faith, a new life, a new name, a new day, and a new beginning. And it seems to me I saw the face of God. I saw God face to face, in the flesh, on the ground, and I lived. "Bless me again," I said. "Fire my faith, and I will not let you go." "No, sir. I will never let you out of my sight. Never." That man who wrestled with God found out who he was. He was and was to be Israel. The one who finally would not just take on and trick and try and grapple with men and win them. Oh, that was easy. That was a pushover. Now he had to take on God. And the story about Israel's beginnings is that Israel took on God and somehow won. By the grace of God, Israel won. And Israel learned what they were. The men who were to be the mediators. the mediators of God to the world, the mediators of blessing, the mediators of love. There's a lady who's going to leave us today, and I'm sure she won't mind if I mention her name, Miss Ansa. And this lady discovered 30 years ago who she wanted to be and who she was. And she built herself a house, a wonderful house, that's a triangle, because she said, why should we always live in cubes and squares? How many of us have made a step that have taken us, given us a new name? Every one of us has, actually. We've all taken a new name when we take the name of Jesus Christ. When we become in him mediators. Mediators, not just of something kind and nice, you know, that we will show our kindness to other people, but of something far more, that somehow we can struggle with one another. One of the difficulties is that whenever we say there's some tension between me and my wife, or between me and that gentleman there, or someone else, there's something wrong about it. Tension can often be very creative. But tension can destroy you, tear you. I sort of saw a little bit of this floating around over the last few days. A certain amount of it on the tennis, on the volleyball court the other day, between certain people, between some of us, you know. These things build up, you know. Now what do you do? Do you struggle with that person, or do you just go away and just grind it down, 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 and stew about it and get mad? Have you ever thought that you are supposed to be mediators? That you are supposed to struggle with that man just as Jacob struggled with God, and that in that other person there is Christ as well as in you? And that here is Christ the mediator between you that is supposed to outstruggle it all, struggle it out? And you've got to do it if you're going to live with someone. You've got to get it out. You've got to get it free. You've got to get yourself free so that you know who you are in the struggle, or else you're lost. You've got to take God by the arm too. And this is what prayer is all about. This is what this mediating thing is all about. That you struggle not just with God up there in some kind of neat little funnel, and you say, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done, and fall asleep. But that you grapple with people who are men of God. That you grapple with God in other people. And in every way, in thought and in words and in books and in life and in the village. And that you dare to resolve it by being mediators. Mediators. That's blessed. And there's one word, there's one line in this whole thing that we should take with us. It's that line, I won't let you go until you bless me. If you want to say that to your wife or your husband or your kids a few more times. I won't let you go. I won't let this thing finish. I won't let it rest until you bless me. Until we resolve it. You can put forgive there if you like. You can put love there if you like. You can put all kinds of words there. But that's it. That's what prayer living is all about. Mediating ourselves and God and love and the Word and the Incarnation. I won't let you go until you bless me. Take that with you. That's one of the great prayers of the Scripture. Let's try it. Herb, we won't let you go until you bless us. Laverne, we won't let you go until you bless us. In your own way. Miss Anta, you have blessed us. We won't let you go until you bless us. And one more. Tell her we won't let you go until you bless us this morning. Great. Go. Be blessed.